This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
It's misinformation and deepfakes. How do you spot those as we get closer to the election? Deputy facing charges for pepper spraying a woman. A really rough arrest. But first, the heat and the fire danger.
People across Southern California just trying to stay cool in the middle of a brutal heat wave. But they have something else to worry about. Wildfires. John Baird is live in the Sylmar area with more.
I'm on Paxton Street near Foothill Boulevard, where the 118 and the 210 freeways come together. I'm next to a blackened hillside. You can smell it from like a quarter mile away. And it looked to me like maybe an ember jumped from the freeway because there was a charred area on the embankment right next to the westbound 210. This is what they were dealing with yesterday, one of the fires. Fire crews jumped on it and held it to 3 acres because that's what they do. LA Fire Captain Eric Scott.
In a sense, we want to kill Godzilla while it's still a baby. We don't want it to grow big and strong and out of control. But we only really see that take place when there's the significant Santa Ana winds.
And at least right now, they don't have to worry about the Santa Ana winds. And that means they don't feel the need to pre-deploy a bunch of fire engines at certain locations just in case. But Mike and Vicky, he says, while the fire danger may be high right now, it's the heat itself, as in heat wave, that causes the biggest concern, because the captain says heat causes, you know, leads to heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and heat is the number one cause of weather-related deaths in the United States.
So we got these temps right now. What about the wet winters we had last couple of years? That means it's a drought state of emergencies over in 19 counties, including LA. Governor made this decision because conditions are better, but it's still in 39 other counties, Sacramento, San Joaquin Valley. Administration says they're going to focus on the long-term planning now, boost the groundwater recharge, maximize the stormwater capture, improve the infrastructure. States are bracing for less rain in the future because of climate change. Water supply expected to drop 10% by 2040.
An LA County Sheriff's deputy has been charged with using excessive force on a woman outside a grocery store in Lancaster last year. Here's Emily Valdez.
This is audio from a Sheriff's Department's body-worn camera of the incident.
You can't touch
Stop.
Me! You can't
Stop.
Touch me!
Now that deputy, Travis Kirk, facing up to 10 years in federal prison.
Federal grand jury in Los Angeles returned an indictment against a sheriff's deputy of the LA County Sheriff's Department. He is charged with one count of deprivation of rights under color of law.
Kira McAvoy is a spokesperson for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles.
In June of 2023, it's alleged he used excessive force when he assaulted and pepper sprayed a woman during a shoplifting investigation outside of Winco Foods in Lancaster.
The video shows a deputy wrapping his arm around the woman, throwing her to the ground, threatening to punch her and pepper spraying her while she's on the ground.
Huntington Beach officials tentatively approving a new local law requiring teachers, other public employees, to notify parents if a kid wants to change their gender identity. Measure passed by the city council on a split vote, 4-3, challenges this new state law that prevents teachers and school officials from telling parents about these kind of things. A Huntington Beach measure applies not only to the teachers, but other school employees, adults who work at city-run facilities, so libraries and parks. Second reading is needed, second vote, before this actually takes effect.
Investigators say they interviewed the shooting suspect in Georgia a year ago after they got tips that he made threats to a school shooting in posts online, but didn't have enough evidence to arrest him. Officials say the boy opened fire yesterday at the high school outside Atlanta and killed 2 students and 2 teachers. Hundreds gathered last night for a vigil. An 11th grade student said the whole experience was surreal.
Still kind of in like a state of shock. Like you don't, like it's, you hear about this kind of stuff, but you like never think it's going to happen to you until like it's happening. And then like once you're in that, it's like this is like really happening.
9 other people were taken to hospitals with injuries. They're expected to survive. Investigators say the 14-year-old used an assault-style rifle. He's been charged as an adult, but is being held at a youth detention facility.
Prosecutor asking a New Mexico judge reconsider the dismissal of the involuntary manslaughter charge against Alec Baldwin in the fatal shooting of the cinematographer on the set of Rust. Court filing just made public. Judge dismissed the case against Baldwin in July. It was about halfway through the trial. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
It's a lot of deep fakes and misinformation spreading online regarding the upcoming presidential election. And of course, with the development of AI, the deep fakes are getting easier to produce. We talked this morning with the editor in chief of PolitiFact, Katie Sanders.
Let's start with this latest thing from the DOJ, because they are saying millions of dollars went to people on TikTok or X or YouTube to post videos with the goal of what exactly? It wasn't so much like push a candidate, but just get us even more angry at each other.
Exactly. That's the long running trend. It's just to sow political divisions in this country. That's something we've seen since the 2016 election. And it, no surprise that certain forces are at work once again with this election.
What are some of the things we are dealing with right now? Is it mostly like the misinformation versus the actual deep fakes, the generated stuff? And why do some of us fall for it so easy? I guess they kind of got our number, because if you see something with a bunch of reposts, you know, and it's in the tens of thousands, you think, well, that must be true because it's very popular.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, the misinformation is designed in a way that you're inclined to believe it if you feel a certain way about the political message that's at the root of the content, right? So, so many things to say about this, but I think people need to be very, very mindful about what they're seeing online. You have to look at the account that's sharing it. You have to dig deeper. Okay, they have a blue check mark, but what does that really mean? Did they pay for it? Have they been verified? Even when I'm scanning my X feed, I have to do constant double takes, because if you just take it at face value, you're going to get fooled.
Who is better at finding it out? Do we know that? Any age groups or different types of voters? I saw some survey that says, you know, some people are better at spotting it than others.
You know, I think everybody has room to improve here. I don't want to say one age group is better than the rest, because I don't know that for sure. And I just come across people in my own life of all ages who don't have the media literacy basics down. And as a society, we really have to work on scrutinizing our sources and, you know, doing that first Google search to look and see if things have been corroborated that sound kind of wild online.
We have heard the warnings for years and years and years, even leading up to the last election before this one, and different interference from different parts of the world. I'm wondering if people still think maybe it's like funny now and then, okay, it'll be a problem later, because, you know, they had the Taylor Swift Trump posts with her in them, very clearly AI, like the skin is all smooth and the lighting is weird and she's wearing, you know, an Uncle Sam suit. Okay, that didn't happen. But then you've got all these posts of a bunch of Taylor Swift fans and t-shirts saying Swifties for Trump. And then you go, well, that looks kind of real. Did that happen or no? That one's tougher.
It really does vary. I think the bad news is that deepfakes or AI graphics and videos and pictures have never been easier to make. So anybody can really make them. You don't have to be a Photoshop whiz, right? But the good news is that, like you said, some of these are still pretty easy to spot. But from my perspective, as this fact-checking organization, we look at this stuff day in, day out. The concern is not so much deepfakes, which can be, they can seem really scary, right? It's more the everyday content, things being presented, a picture being presented that is authentic, but it happened a few years ago, right? But it's being misconveyed to make it look like this is happening now. So I think one tangible tip I have for everybody listening is just to figure out how to do a reverse image search. That is going to save you a lot of time. And it's really just a simple right click of a button on your computer.
That is the editor-in-chief of PolitiFact, Kate Saunders. Hunter Biden's tax evasion trial begins this morning in Los Angeles, and the new football season kicks off tonight. Coming up, 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Looks like the governor might succeed after all in getting the state lawmakers to hold a special session to prevent future big spikes in the gas prices. First issued that call last weekend saying they were getting ready to wrap up their regular work and head home. At the time, some of the Democrats said they wouldn't go along with this. But now Mike McGuire says he's working with the governor to find a path forward. Newsom says oil companies have gouged drivers for too long, using the refineries to manipulate the prices.
Supply demand. Demand remains relatively constant. Supply drops with unplanned and planned maintenance, and then we see huge increase in profits and costs to those going to the pump. And we're trying to get our arms around that.
Once the lawmakers to force the oil companies to store more extra gas in California, prevent supply cuts when they're shut down for the maintenance.
Jury selection set to start this morning in L.A. in the federal tax evasion trial of President Biden's son, Hunter. If convicted on all charges, he could face sentences totaling up to 17 years in prison for an alleged illegal scheme to avoid paying about $1.4 million in federal taxes. His lawyers say Biden's judgment during the period involved was affected by heavy drug addiction, and he didn't actually intend to commit the crimes. Hunter Biden already facing possible prison time after being convicted earlier this year for illegal gun possession.
Former President Trump is talking about the possibility of World War III, a global war. He was talking on a town hall on Fox News last night.
When you look at Ukraine and you look at Russia, you look at all the things that are happening, we are potentially getting ready. I'm telling you, and I've made a lot of predictions, and this is not a prediction because it's so bad. I don't want it to be a prediction. We're heading into World War III territory.
Part of the town hall last night was with him and Sean Hannity. Another chunk broadcast tonight. We'll have some questions from voters.
The rules for next week's presidential debate have been agreed upon now by both sides. Art Sanders says after much wrangling, it will essentially be the same format as the June Biden-Trump debate.
Kamala Harris and Donald Trump will be hosted by ABC News in Philadelphia for their 90-minute back and forth. It will be held without an audience, and microphones will be muted when each candidate is not speaking. Aaron Call of the University of Michigan and co-author of the book Debating the Donald thinks it was inevitable that the Harris campaign was going to have to agree to the same rules.
They preferred the microphones to be live, hot, because they hoped that Trump would say something offensive. You know, he called Hillary Clinton a nasty woman in 2016 at the Las Vegas debate. So, you know, if they got under his skin, they were hoping that he would say something when it wasn't his turn to speak and it would be caught on the mic, and that everyone would kind of focus on that and show that maybe he doesn't have the right presidential temperament and alienate moderate voters. But they ultimately didn't win their side of the argument, and you're not going to, you know, risk the whole debate because of that. You'd look weak. And so they had to just kind of go with the original rules that got negotiated between the Trump and Biden campaigns for that first June debate.
There will be no opening statements for the debate next Tuesday evening, and the closing statements will be 2 minutes long for each candidate per the rules. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Lyft is doing layoffs, eliminating one of the scooter divisions. Raquel Maria Dillon says this comes on top of laying off about a third of the workforce last year.
Lyft says it's refocusing and will no longer operate standalone dockless bikes and scooters. This round of layoffs represents about 30 Lyft employees. David King, an expert on urban planning and transportation at Arizona State University, says private companies have found providing micro-mobility services to be less lucrative than they had hoped.
What we're seeing is sort of an expected retrenchment to where these services can be profitable. And that's going to be in the big cities with the most people making the most trips.
E-bikes and scooters are heavy-duty, maintenance-intensive vehicles that need to be rebalanced, hauled from where people leave them to where people want to rent them.
The dock scooters are a little bit easier to rebalance, but they're not as useful because then you have to go to a dock.
I'm Raquel Maria Dillon, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
It's the start of the NFL season with the defending Super Bowl champs kicking things off.
The 2024 NFL season kicks off tonight in Kansas City, where the Baltimore Ravens visit the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. KC will be looking to three-peat, but for now, star quarterback Patrick Mahomes tells SiriusXM the old adage applies. It's one game at a time.
It wasn't like we talked about openly, but I mean, right after the Super Bowl, you saw that we were saying, like, we gotta go do it. But since we've gotten back, and it's just football. I mean, we know what the process is. You go in the day-by-day process of just getting better.
The Chiefs head into the season as the favorite to once again win it all. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News.
Can you watch your sports on DirecTV? Now you got that blackout. Here's Pete Demetrio.
The dispute revolves around Disney and ESPN wanting a bundled channel package for customers, while DirecTV is insisting on an a la carte menu for subscribers. While both sides are holding firm on their positions, Ross Benish, senior marketing analyst at eMarketer, thinks this will not be a prolonged blackout.
Well, there will be a lot of pressure to get it resolved quickly since it is occurring during football season, which is, you know, the highest rated sports in the United States, and sports is what's keeping the TV bundled together. So there's immense pressure on both sides to get this resolved as soon as possible because it's just such a critical time of the year.
If the dispute does drag on, Benish feels that financially Disney is in a stronger position than DirecTV. And in order to retain what market share they have, Direct may have to accept the bundle concept or risk losing customers to streaming services for months at a time, which would have a major impact on their bottom line. Pete Demetrio, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Many high schools and youth sports leagues have canceled their practices and games for the rest of the week because of the heat. This is especially true in the Valley, where temps are going to be in the triple digits. It's a change from a few years ago when high school sports would go on despite the temperatures. We talked about it this morning to Dr. Jeff Davies. He's an ER doc at Dignity Health, St. John's Hospital in Oxnard, and he tells us why the shift in policy took place.
I think, one, it's just an awareness, right? I think maybe we weren't aware in the mentality of push through it, and that's part of the process. But I do think an awareness of all the effects of the heat, and I do think it's actually, you know, it has been getting hotter everywhere. And so we're seeing, at least in the emergency room, a lot more of these heat-related illnesses, and not just historically the elderly and the very young, but in these like young athletes. And that's kind of been a surprise to me as well. I'm really happy to hear that schools are being proactive, and when they see, you know, it's going to be a hot stretch of weather or the heat index is very high, that they're being aggressive in terms of, you know, protecting the athletes.
He says one big issue is students who are experiencing or playing sports in the heat. They often don't know they're getting sick.
I think football players in particular, or any sport where you're in padded gear you know, you're really exerting yourself to the max, we see that quite a bit. And probably the biggest thing is, I think, just self-recognition is the individual themselves doesn't even realize that, because the symptoms may be vague, headache, nausea, just muscle weakness, you know, more shortness of breath. I think it may be just part of the process. And really, it takes sometimes someone outside looking in, a coach, a parent, et cetera, another teammate, kind of recognize like, hey, you don't look so good, and to remind them. The other part, I think it's often insidious of how gradual it can come on, and you may not even be aware, especially if you're not staying on top of it.
Dr. Davies says the key for staying healthy is hydrating, not just during the game, but several hours before.
It seems to be the education is getting much better about hydrating during the event. What I think people are forgetting is the pre-hydration and the after-hydration are equally as important. You know, when you're thirsty, you're kind of already behind, to be honest. But, you know, a lot of people forget the importance of pre-hydrating, just like if you're a long-distance athlete, marathon runner, cycler, you know, it's that night before and several hours before that are just as important of getting your body ready for the event. You know, I'm not saying you need to prepare a week before, but even a couple hours before would really make a huge benefit.
And when it comes to, you know, what you drink, he says it depends on how long the student athlete is exercising.
Water, for the most part, is probably fine if you're exercising less than an hour. But when you get beyond an hour, you probably need something else like an electrolyte solution. And there's various forms. But I do think, you know, water would be a great start. But I do personally believe that a Gatorade type product or a sports drink is great, especially for high school sports, if you're you know, if you're going for a prolonged amount of time or an intensity.
He says teens should stay away from the energy drinks while playing sports because they can cause problems with stressing the heart.